What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the Cubulus Podcast. It's Jay and Brian here to go through the week 12 madness. I have got the week right every single time I've done an episode.
Week 12.
Yeah, there it is. That's
folks. I mean, you're in Virginia, I'm in North Carolina, so that's about how it sounds for most people.
Look at that. Yeah, I got to get that little twang going there. But yes, we're here to deep dive, go through those start sit questions that you have. Maybe we didn't cover the game deep enough in the start sit questions, but I've got lots of QB2 questions, some RB2, some wide receiver 3, some flex. Jay, I'm glad you're here.
I'm here too, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're already feeling a little festive with the Christmas lights in the background. I think it's we talked about pre-show. It's, you know what? Might as well, if you enjoy it, whatever makes you happy, throw it up there. You know, I don't know if you've seen the Giants social media. It's actually been decent over the past 2 years, but they did. They had all the players coming off practice field, and they were talking about, you know, when do you put the lights up and stuff, and they were just going through one, you know, and it was one extreme or the other. It was, not till the day before Christmas, or you know, and it was pretty good. You should check it out.
Yeah, I love that it's slowly creeping. I mean, it doesn't help that stores are dropping stuff in like September. Like all of a sudden, right. You see Christmas decorations. But yeah, it's slowly creeping up now. Where like November 1st seems to be the new initiation for that. But folks, we're not going to jump to Christmas and all those other holidays too soon because we have multiple weeks, just a handful of weeks, till we get to the playoffs. It's do or die for a lot of leagues there, and we got to get these start sit questions right.
We do. We've got some. Couple of leagues, I'm looking pretty good for the playoff. My home league, I've had to win out, and I've gotten hot here lately. But I am starting Davis Mills tonight, so I'm not too happy about that. But Superflex, it's one of those things. But
hopefully that one went well. We are recording this just before Thursday night, so we missed the barn burner that was the Houston or Bills edit point. That just defensive slugfest that we got to see there. Cool. We're good with that one. We got that covered. Let's start off with some of the most positive news coming in through the week. Joe Burrow at practice, as we've seen Wednesday and Thursday, first team reps. Joe Flacco's a little banged up. Jay, give me your thoughts on this one.
I think he plays this week. I really do. He's had 2 days in a row with full practices. They need to win. They don't have Ja'Marr Chase. I think that's extra, may have been just an extra little bit of motivation to speed up this timetable and check and see if he's available on your waiver wire. You would be shocked on how many leagues that he's out there. Reminds me of, I think it was like 2017, 2018, where Aaron Rodgers went out early in the season, and then everybody thought he was done for the year, and miraculously, just like this, it was Rodgers is back at practice. He might play in a few weeks, and I snagged him in a bunch of leagues. So check your waiver wire. You would be surprised at how much he's available. And
yeah,
he's
just in time for
that
playoff push.
Exactly. I'm starting him. He's a must start. Regardless of matchup, I don't care about his toe. If he's back, he's in my lineup.
So then with that, like you said, just about any team could have him at this point. You could have Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow here. So I guess let's find that line for you where you're starting him over.
This week or just in general?
Just this week going into it.
Okay.
Joe Burrow or Caleb Williams against Pittsburgh?
Give me Burrow.
I've got Jacoby Brissett up high here. So I've got Jacoby at 9 right now. Jacoby or Burrow?
Ooh. I got Jacoby at 10, so I'm with you. Who do the Cardinals play? The Jaguars?
Jacksonville.
I think I'm still going Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Matthew Stafford against Tampa Bay or Joe Burrow?
That's getting close to the line.
Find the line. I mean, but at this point, like I've got Matt Stafford at 7 this week. So like we're talking a top 8 play then for Burrow.
Right.
Not many players that you wouldn't start over him at this point.
Right. If this was with Ja'Marr Chase, Burrow's been playing for a few weeks, it would be Burrow, no question. But you know, first game back, no Ja'Marr Chase. It's Patriots defense is no joke. So yeah, I think that's the line for me. I think I would go with Matthew Stafford. So, like you said, about top 8.
I like that. I like that. And helps me out for finishing my my rankings out for this week. Well, then staying in that game, T. Higgins, Andre Yoshivas, because, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, he is suspended for this game. How deep does that let you go? Like, are you looking at Yoshivas like wide receiver 3 for this week? Is he down there like wide receiver 4?
More of a wide receiver 4 flex play. I would like to see, you know, I might bump him up to wide receiver 3 if we get Joe Burrow, but I'm not actively looking to get him in my lineup. But if you're in a situation where with buys, with injuries, with suspensions, if you need a guy, I think he's more than a serviceable flex. Or, you know, if you're in a tough spot, a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, my thoughts too is, you know, Christian Gonzalez, he's played really well this season. You know, how much does he bottle up T. Higgins, leaving Yoshivas as maybe more open? Noah Fant, folks, if you're going really deep for tight end streamers, he almost made the list for me this week, just on the same premise.
Almost.
I mentioned him, but I didn't highlight him as one of the 3 this week.
If you had a chance to read the start sit this week, but I have a very interesting tidbit. Did you know that Noah Fant is actually short for Noah Fantasy Value? Sorry, I had to go with the dad joke.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, check out those start sit articles over there on QBList.com, folks.
Plenty of dad jokes.
Hey, brilliant. It's the glue that keeps fantasy articles together is the dad jokes. On the other side, Diggs, Booty, how are you looking at these 2 this week?
Diggs, even with his, you know, say limited snap count, but compared to guys of, you know, where we're constantly ranking him, he's got some limited snaps. I think he's a wide receiver 1 this week against the Bengals, as well as Drake May is playing. And has Booty been practicing? I know he was.
Yeah, I believe he did. He should be back. He's going to be back this week. I think it's back-to-back practices for him.
Any of the other Patriots wide receivers, Booty would be the one I'd want to start most, but I really feel like they're all just flex plays that you're hoping gets that guy's week. We could see it from any of him or Matt Collins. Heck, we saw Kyle Williams. So it's I think it's just one of those. It's Stephon Diggs, and you're hoping you pick the right guy at wide receiver.
Nice. Going back to quarterback here, Jackson Dart, as of this episode, trending to play, looking good for this week. Tough matchup against Detroit. Honestly, for me, after my top 12 quarterbacks, that list gets fragile. You could throw like anything at it, a popcorn peanut, and that thing is going to fall and rearrange, and I wouldn't know the difference. But I do have Jackson Dart coming in just at quarterback 12 for me. Do you view him as a QB1 this week? And then what are your thoughts about throwing him again against Detroit?
I do. I view him as a QB1. If he's active, I think he's the type that isn't, whether it's good for him long-term or not, he's not going to play timidly. He's going to go back and play as aggressive as he has every game in his rookie season. And I have him 8 right now. That is not the final spot, but I think that it's one of those scenarios where with his rushing capabilities, he's got that safe floor. You know, he's set the record, like we talked about, six games in a row with a rushing touchdown. What the total is on this game? I just think it's the Giants are going to have to play from behind. They're going to, whether it's
50 points over under.
Yeah, 50-point game. We haven't seen Jackson Dart indoors yet. I think this is going to be a shootout, and I think the Giants, you know, even though the Lions defense has played well, they've allowed 18 passing touchdowns. So Giants recently signed their ex-girlfriend Isaiah Hodgins, and he played okay last week. Granted, that was with Jameis Winston, but he's
crazy if he's fantasy
weapon. For the Giants, but it's another option. And I mean, I'm not starting him or anything like that, but I think it elevates that passing floor for Jackson Dart just a smidge.
Dak Prescott, I have him coming in at 11. Feels so trappy for me. Now, this game between Dallas and Philly, it is in Dallas. The last one, the rematch from week one. Again, week one, we see a lot of rust on these teams. So could have been the situation, but I'm worried. I am worried. This Eagles defense is nasty. They're going out there and shutting people down. Is Dak a victim of it this week? Like, are we going to regret playing him as a QB1 this week?
No, I don't say that too confidently, but it's hard to not put Dak as a QB1 when he's throwing a CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. And like you said, Philly defense, I mean, they've held Green Bay and Detroit to 16 points combined over the past two games. And granted, it was 1 week against the Raiders, but Dallas defense looked phenomenal last week. And these acquisitions really, you know, may make a difference. I don't think they're going to be this pushover. Like, I don't think they're all of a sudden going to be dominant, but they're not going to be, you know, the team that's going to get video game points put up against them every single week. So I agree with you on the premise that the Eagles defense is playing lights out, but I think Dak's good enough. And obviously, as long as they're not out in Vegas till 7 in the morning again, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. Although, I mean, the games they have, maybe they should just do that. Just stay out all night. And
no kidding. Career day for George Pickens.
Quick sidebar real quick. I just think it's hilarious, the whole you're not going to play on the first drive. Like it's like a 5-minute timeout. Like, these guys are making millions of dollars, but you show them, you know, I understand breaking team rules and stuff, but I just think it's like the funniest thing that they're making a point by they're not playing on the first drive.
Yeah, if anything, you're hurting the rest of the team exactly. By possibly not winning. You are making a playoff push. I don't know. Something to note we didn't talk about in the start sit episode, Daniel Jones popped up with an injury, calf injury. They are monitoring it and they're taking it, you know, not day, what was the quote? It wasn't day by day, but they're treating it as an injury there. So if Daniel Jones doesn't play, I'm scared. The Colts don't stand a chance.
Yeah. Who's the backup? Is it?
It's the guy from Notre Dame. What's his name?
Oh, rookie. Really handsome guy.
Riley. No, that's Sam Hartman. That was 2 years ago. Riley Leonard.
Okay.
Yeah, Sam Hartman. No relation to me, but you know, it's I tried to get him on the show.
Riley Leonard, a former Duke Blue Devil.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know, maybe that's good. A sign with me wearing the hat. No, thanks.
Last quarterback I want to bring up just real quick. I've got Baker Mayfield at 16 playing the Rams. I'm nervous. Baker has not done well as of late. Or do you view him as a QB1 this week?
No, and I'm with you. I got some pushback on him last week because I had him ranked pretty low as well going against the Bills. But I'm with you. Right now I have him at 16 as well. And even though he wound up with a decent in 3 months, even though he wound up with an okay fantasy day, that was because he salvaged it on the ground with a rushing touchdown. Only able to throw one touchdown. Like you said, the Rams, their defense is, I mean, they're in the conversation for the best in the league. And the way that the start of the season for Baker, he wasn't playing amazing. He, you know, it's one of those, he was having those Blake Bortles type games where he would just look awful and then they would have to play catch up and he would connect on a couple of big plays for some touchdowns. And the final stat line looked phenomenal. But if you watched him play, he didn't look good. And then, you know, he's had to deal with these injuries to all his wide receivers. I'm with you. I'm worried about Baker. I would not be looking to start him, especially, you know, the way that the running game is looking with Sean Tucker and whether or not Bucky Irving's back or not, they've got enough talent in the backfield that Baker doesn't have to chuck the ball.
Nice. Moving to running back. I mean, give us the Giants expert, give us the honed in, the fan understanding of this backfield. Singletary, Tracy, are you playing them? If so, where you got them ranked this week?
First off, I don't appreciate being outed as a Giants fan. It's something that I try to keep hidden. But so going into last week, I wanted no part of either of the guys. And it's funny because things did shake out how I anticipated. Tracy saw a little bit more work, saw the passing game work, and Singletary handled the goal line work. But Tracy looked so much better than Singletary did. Oh, yeah. He averaged 2 more yards per carry at a season high, 88 rushing yards, 51 receiving yards. But I can't put him in RB2 territory because Singletary is taking that goal line work. Tracy hasn't had a single touch on the goal line inside the five. I do think the way that Tracy's playing and the chances that the Giants are going to be playing from behind and his work in the passing game, he's a viable flex. I'm not interested in starting Singletary, even if he did, if he is scoring the touchdowns. Those aren't going to be there. Jackson Dart's going to hopefully be back, whether it's this week, whether it's next week. You know, I could see at least 50%, if not 100%, of those touchdowns going to Dart versus Singletary. So no interest in Singletary, but I think Tracy showed enough that he's a viable flex in PPR leagues.
Nice. Let's find that line then with Tyrone Tracy. Are you doing Tyrone Tracy or Ramondre Stevenson against Cincinnati?
I'd go Ramondre.
Tyrone Tracy or Bam Knight with no Trey Benson?
Against Jacksonville. I'm going to go Tyrone Tracy. I don't trust the Cardinals. It's a similar situation with the Cardinals, even with one less guy. It's take your pick who's going to be the one this week to score the touchdown and carry the load.
Tyrone Tracy or Kenneth Gainwell, and how are you viewing this Steelers backfield if we've got Jaylen Warren coming back as well?
That is a good one. And I wish Kenneth Gainwell would he did get some touches early in his career and did absolutely nothing with them. It's one of those situations that's like, reminds me a lot of Lamar Miller, where like when he would come in and, in replacement of somebody, he would look phenomenal, but then he goes to the Texans and he's the guy and just does nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm really starting to think that this is actually for, I know we saw it earlier in the season, but I think Gainwell is going to start to eat into some of Warren's work. Warren didn't leave until the third quarter. Gainwell was plenty involved before that. He had more carries than Gainwell. Gainwell had more carries than Warren in the first half, and he handled 11 of the 12 2-minute drill plays. 7 of 8 targets caught, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, Gainwell didn't really do that much from a rushing perspective, but that doesn't matter in fantasy, especially in PPR. I think he's
8
done
targets
enough
last week. Whoo!
Yeah. Whoo! Yep. Yeah. I mean, give me. Yeah. It got get you all beklempt over there. I think. Did you see the catch that he made too? The one handed grab on the screen. My goodness, that got me all hot and bothered. He should have had a third touchdown. He had one guy to beat. He couldn't get past him. But I mean, Warren didn't play bad. He had over six yards per carry. I think it's going to be. I do think that Gainwell has shown enough to earn a little bit more of that third down role, the passing down role, against the, who do they play again this week? The Bears. I'm fine starting both, honestly. Whether Warren's active or not, I'm fine with starting both guys.
That's where I'm leaning. Whether it's a 50-50 split or maybe something closer to a 60-40, Gainwell, he's proved it multiple times this season. He's worth something in this offense. So yeah, I'm right there with you.
If there's no Aaron Rodgers, does that change for you?
A bit, I guess, just in the confidence. Maybe I'm trying to, okay. So I've got one as a high RB3 and the other one as a middle RB3. I probably just shift them down to like a mid and a low RB3. Cause you'd think they'd want to lean on the run instead of having Mason Rudolph out there. Goodness.
Let's light over. Goes away.
Right, no kidding. Let's slide over to wide receiver here. San Francisco, Juwan Jennings seems to be the favorite to Brock Purdy as far as just the first read routes that he's gotten over the last year and a half. Ricky Pearsall gave us essentially a George Kittle game. you know, George Kittle's first game back, it was a goose egg. Ricky did almost that. He got half a point, depending on your format, but had one catch, 0 yards. I'm willing to put him back out there this week. I'm willing to put him in my starting lineup without a prove it game, with also the understanding that he might just be second fiddle behind Juwan Jennings. I think it could be close. He's the big yard guy. He's the big play guy. Tempered expectations, I guess, especially going up against Carolina. Your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think they're both playing second fiddle to George Kittle. Hey, there we go. I was a poet and didn't know it. And shout out to Christian Ottoman, who a couple weeks ago came out with a trade targets piece for the fantasy playoffs and talked about the splits for George Kittle with or without Purdy. And it was pretty remarkable. And through one game, he hit the nail on the head, identifying George Kittle as a target for when Purdy comes back. I'm with you. I'm fine with showing, you know, we've seen enough from Pierce Allen's offense. And the way that this offense is set up, these guys just have some of those games where they just don't get involved because of the way things, you know, work out. And actually, they're kind of playing third fiddle because it's Kittle and CMC and then the wide receivers. So I think it's a similar situation to what I was saying with the Patriots wide receivers other than Stephon Diggs. Like, you're starting these guys.
Yeah.
It might be their week. It might not. There's some inherent risk, but the offense is good enough that I'm comfortable starting either one of them. I have a more of a flex versus a wide receiver three, but they both have the upside. I mean, honestly, they have wide receiver one upside. Their range of outcomes is huge. I'm not saying that it's likely, but it's possible.
Let's go over to the Colts and Chiefs game. Got a few questions there. Obviously, we talked about Daniel Jones. If for whatever reason he's out, I'm way less confident in these wide receivers. But we're gonna play the game. He's in because my heart just can't take it if he's not. but Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce. Michael Pittman, for the most part, has been pretty consistent this year. Last few games, Alec Pierce has really been featured. But I guess, how do you see that continuing against this rough Chiefs defense? You know, wide receiver 14 and 15 finishes right before the bye week.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Pittman overall long-term with this offense. Coming into the game, Alec Pierce had seen a 9. Coming into their last game before the bye, Pierce had seen a 9% increase in targets at the expense of Tyler Warren and Josh Downs. It was just Pittman's turn to take a little bit of a hit there, but I still think he's going to be the most consistent, highest floor, not quite the upside as Alex Pierce, but if Pierce continues to see this type of volume, man, he is a dangerous wide receiver three. Those are the two that I want to start in this offense. Josh Downs, I was starting to get a little excited for him with that stretch where he was seeing some consistent volume, but a little more volatile than I would like. I'm fine with Josh Downs. It's like a wide receiver, low-end wide receiver three or flex, and I still think that Tyler Warren is a must-start based on the position, but his floor isn't quite what we had hoped or what it looked like it was going to be at the beginning of this year. Against the Chiefs, the 6th fewest points to the position. I think, you know, normally I see Pittman more of like a borderline wide receiver one. The matchup, I got to bump him more to like a middle of the road wide receiver two. And I think Pierce is still the same, you know, that boom bust volatile wide receiver three.
On the other side, I mean, Rice hadn't been exactly the best wide receiver for you last week, but I mean, there's no way you're sitting him. It's his running mate there, Xavier Worthy. How do you feel about him this week? The Indianapolis, you know, they did trade for Sauce Gardner. They're also getting Tre'Davious Ward off IR and the Mooney as well. So that secondary just got beefed up quite a bit.
Absolutely. And honestly, I don't want to start any wide receiver other than Rashee Rice on this team. Worthy, he's banged up dealing with an ankle injury, and he scored fewer than 10 fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games. Does he have a single game over 20 points this season? Like, I know he started the first, no, 17 no. game at 17 points in week 4. I really don't want to start him at all, regardless of the matchup, just the way that similar to what we were talking about earlier with distributing the ball. This is an offense that the ball is going to go either to Rashee Rice or a number of other options, and it's just Travis Kelce's really stepped up here in the past.
Unfortunately, at Xavier Worthy's expense, man.
Yeah, that's why he took him out in the first game. I think it was a hit job.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm gonna take him out, and you know, I gotta get those stats before. Do you think Kelce's done after this year?
I hope so. I hope so for just like for all of it. You know, I hate watching these players just crumble in their final year when it's like, you should have done one less year. Yep. You know, just I don't know. I'd like to see even him though walk he's out. Been.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
No, I was just gonna say even though he's putting like he's been a tight end one for pretty much almost the entire year. This when he catches the ball, man, it's like he's running in quicksand. He's not the Travis Kelce of 2 years ago, last year. I'm with you. It hurts to see these guys who were once legendary to go down like that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of baggage now. And by that, I mean a lot of bags full of money, billions of dollars of it now, or that's coming his way. Goodness. Green Bay's wide receivers, Christian Watson's kind of the upside play for me. Romeo Doubs is more of that floor play for you. I guess the same view, fringe wide receiver two, wide receiver three.
Yep, with 100%. And honestly, the upside really hasn't been there for Doubs recently. I consider them both wide receiver threes, but I'd rather take the shot on the upside with Watson. It just depends on what you need in your matchup. If you're looking safe, Doubs is definitely the way. But Watson has really come on strong here lately, and he made that one touchdown catch that he made with two guys on him, just bit moss the defender. It's phenomenal. It was it hurt because it was against my Giants, but, I mean, I calls him like I see him, and it was a ridiculous catch. He's and another guy too to check the waiver wire for. If Jayden Reed, he's I don't know if he's practicing yet, but they're talking about potential coming back soon. Okay, so he's not returned to practice yet, but they said that they're hoping to open the 21-day practice window this week. So go check your waiver wires, see if he's out there. Depending on your league settings, you might be able to still just stash him on your IR. But if not, you know, with buys coming to an end, got some extra space at the end of your bench, throw him on there. You never know.
Jordan Addison hasn't been great. The last month's been pretty rough. Wide receiver 31, 47, 47, 31. I mean, nine. Is nine the problem? Is Addison and Jefferson having the issue here? I have him outside of my top 24 this week. I love the talent. Love the talent of Addison, but I am struggling to find myself playing him. Like, Parker Washington is a name that I'm like, do I play him over Addison?
It really sucks, man, especially with the playoff schedule that the Vikings have, man. I was hoping that, you know, McCarthy would come back, he'd knock off some rust, and then be good enough to elevate, you know, to be able to be a solid borderline quarterback one. But I'm with you. This is the first week that I had to rank Justin Jefferson as a wide receiver two, and same, I bumped Jordan Addison down to wide receiver three. The targets are there, but the quality of targets aren't. Over the past 3 weeks, Justin Jefferson had 30% target share, has a 60% of those passes have been catchable, which is eighth worst among receivers with at least 10 targets. Any guesses on what percentage of Jordan Addison's targets have been? I will go higher or lower. You think they're higher or lower than Justin Jefferson's?
Lower.
League worst, 50% of his targets are catchable. So 20% target share, 10% of them. 10% of the Vikings targets are going to him that are catchable. So yeah, it's just why do these guys have to come up with these personas? Like, if you do it, fine. Do whatever works for you. Don't put it out. Like, dude, look at yourself in the mirror. Like, you look like a Ken doll. Like, you're not scaring anybody with your eye black and stuff. Like, don't call yourself nine. Win something. Like, he hasn't even started, what, five games, and you're coming out with these nicknames and stuff? Like, that was the downfall of Russell Wilson, too, the whole Mr. Unlimited thing. So,
no kidding.
Take note, Jackson Dart. Don't give yourself any nicknames or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm very indifferent on J.J. McCarthy. I don't think I have an opinion either way. I just believe in KOC. I'm like, it doesn't matter who's back there. It really doesn't matter. That's the drum I decided to beat all
I'm
summer.
I'm secretly kind of hope there's been some rumors floated that if things fall apart, KOC could be out and the Giants just so happen to be looking for a coach. I would be ecstatic if I want that very much. I don't think it's going to happen, but the guy can dream.
Yeah, no kidding. It's an unfortunate situation there. We've got lots tied up there fantasy-wise on that team. I'm trying to look for anything else popping out at me. Brian Thomas Jr., how are you treating that this week?
I really, as poorly as he's played, he's one of my favorite wide receivers in the league. The talent's there for him to return to that wide receiver one, but the way Trevor Lawrence is playing and, you know, just trading for Jacoby Myers, who led the team in targets in the second game, targets, receptions, and receiving yards, I can't put him any higher than a wide receiver three. I mean, if he's active, I'm probably starting him in three wide receiver leagues, but by no means am I forcing him into the lineup, especially against Arizona, who's been tough against wide receivers.
I feel you. I'm right there with you.
It hurts, man, because I'm a big Brian Thomas Jr. fan.
It's unfortunate. I guess what else is unfortunate is I'm out of players. You got anything else for the people? Anybody else you want to pull apart?
Not that I can think of. I guess it's too late, but I'll ask you since we're here. I had to decide between starting Davis Mills or risking Aaron Rodgers this week. And I decided to go ahead and play it safe with Davis Mills. I've not seen any of the scores, if he's thrown a touchdown or interception or broke his long neck. Or
he's given you 0 points so far. So
figured as much.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Without having a pivot option from Aaron Rodgers, that would be the hard part. I guess unless
it
you
would
play
be
on sleeper,
it would be Shador like Sanders. Sub.
Ooh, I think I'd do it. I think I'd roll the dice. Aaron Rodgers, I talked about it in the other episode. This man has no joy. No joy in his life except beating Chicago and the Bears.
No.
I think he's gonna play, but like I'd pivot to Shador if I had to risk going for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I played it safe. Hopefully he doesn't bite me, because the guy I'm playing has A-Chain on bye and had Jamar Chase, so I'm the heavy favorite, so I wound up playing it safe. Hopefully, like I said, that doesn't bite me in the behind.
Well, fingers crossed there. And good luck to you all y'all out there. Thank you all for listening here. Jay, if people are looking for more and all of the amazing stuff that you do, where can they find you and your work?
On Twitter/X, whatever the kids call it these days, at GMNJ. Sunday nights I record Sunday Best podcast that comes out on Mondays. It's actually, I've started to make it a little shorter, and I think it's a better quality product. So it's been more around the 15-minute mark. Just the 10-ish or so biggest storylines from Sunday, going through those. And then our ranks come out on Wednesdays and Saturdays, me, you, Eric, and our friend Steve, which shout out, Brian, what did he say? You guys were both top 20 in tight end this week, I believe.
Yeah.
This
and
past
then
week.
I think,
and then Eric was
top
number
six
eight.
Or top eight in running back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also ranked players. And we'll go on about that. But and then next week with the holiday, my start sit column normally comes out on Thursdays. Going to come out a day early, so it will be out on next Wednesday, and I will, as always, post it in Reddit and answer questions. I usually, when I post it, I answer questions for about an hour and then go through over the next few days as much as I can and just go pop in and answer questions. But yeah, that'll be a day early next week, and I believe we might be talking next week as well, you and I.
Yeah, podcast will be just a little bit differently. We'll still get the, Jay's episode there on Monday. Waiver Wire reaction will be on Tuesday. We'll cover the Thursday and Black Friday slate on the Wednesday episode. And then after we get through the holiday Friday morning, you'll have your Sunday slate for the start episode going in there.
There we go.
But yeah, you guys find all of that great work over there at QBList.com, football.pitcherlist. You can find me at @too_much_Brian if you're looking for anything I'm doing. We can't thank you all enough. Thanks for being here. Good luck this week. Any questions, if you're over here on Spotify, hit us up. Let us know. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all next time.